you for taking the time out this Saturday morning to show, well, almost Saturday afternoon, to show that you want from a new government in Ottawa and who you want in Ottawa. That's why you're here. It's pretty simple, isn't it? We want results for working families and BC families here in British Columbia. We live in the richest city, in the richest province, in the richest country in the world. But take a 2-minute walk from this room and you will see women and men curled up in blankets, begging for food, homeless, addicted, sick, and despair. Take a 5-minute SkyTrain ride from this hotel and you'll find neighborhoods where families are struggling to get by on $50,000 a year. No support for their seniors, no childcare for their children, no protection from runaway tuition increases, no training. These are new Canadians, families who want to make a contribution to our country while they raise their families. And what they want to see in Ottawa is action on their problems, not the corruption and arrogance of the Liberals, not the narrow, extreme, intolerant, backward vision of the Conservatives, but a government driven to do what Canadians are demanding, the end to private Medicare. A real national child care program. Housing, affordable, clean, decent housing. And the only way to make sure that happens is to send the maximum possible number of NDP MPs to Ottawa on January 23rd. Friends, today we're going to talk about those issues and meet the candidates committed to delivering on those very issues for us. We're going to agitate so you can get agitated, the voters can get agitated to get out on January 23rd in massive numbers. And we're going to meet some working people and seniors who have already benefited from the work that Jack Layton and the NDP have done in the House of Commons already. I want you to meet one of those people now. Brian Mulroney learned the hard way. You don't take on Canada's seniors unless you are ready for a battle. In this province, that battle is led by the Council of Senior Citizens Organizations, COSCO. COSCO is right on the front lines with seniors across British Columbia, and I'd like you to welcome today Sylvia McClay, Chair of the Housing and Health Committee of COSCO. Please help me welcome Sylvia.
Thank you, Angie, and you're absolutely right. Any politician who thinks he can take Medicare away from seniors in this province is in for a big surprise. I don't think there's a person in this room who hasn't been touched by the cuts in our healthcare system. We all have immediate family. We have aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, extended groups. We have friends. We have neighbors who've tried to count on our healthcare system when they needed help. And this is the type of thing that happened. They couldn't get a hip replacement or heart surgery when they needed it, or, and They're paying hundreds of dollars a month for prescription drugs. The gold card isn't worth much anymore. Or they have to get along with one bath a week because that's all our provincial government will pay for via home care and home support. And who started the cuts in health care? It really was Paul Martin, as far back as his Minister of Finance days. And the Martin cuts to federal health funding have made him a hero on Bay Street in Toronto at the expense of the sick, the frail, and the elderly. Then we have Stephen Harper. His Conservatives are pretty clear, and their message is pretty simple. They favor a two-tier healthcare system, one for the rich, and another one for all the rest of us. Friends, Canadian seniors will never accept the destruction of our healthcare system. I support Jack Layton and the NDP, and here's why. If we have Medicare today, it's for one reason, and one reason only. It's because we elected New Democrats in Saskatchewan, in Manitoba, and in British Columbia, and most importantly, in Ottawa. There's only one party in Ottawa that consistently defends Medicare, and that's the NDP. Only the NDP has a plan to guarantee home care and home support for seniors. Only the NDP has spelled out a national prescription drug plan. And if the other parties talk at all about health care, it's only because the presence of the NDP is forcing them into it. We need that presence more now than ever. And I'm urging that you, your families, your friends, and your neighbors make sure that what happens on January 23rd will be an election of a large number of NDP MPs. Seniors, vote for them.
Thank you, Sylvia. And I know that Costco is working very hard to make sure that the seniors' voices are heard in this election campaign. Before I introduce the next speaker, I would like to give you a sense of the enormous support that is here today endorsing Jack Layton from the BC Federation of Labour Officers. I want to introduce them, and maybe they can just wave on the stage back here. Bruce Bell from the TWU. Rick Dowling from IBW. Tom Dufresne from Longshore. Steve Hunt from the Steelworkers. Fred Musen from the Hospital Employees Union. Cindy Oliver from FIPSI. Barry O'Neill from CUPE BC. Jenny Sims from the BCTF. Brooke Sundin from UFCW. Gary Croker from the OEs. And Patty Ducharme from PSAC. Friends, our next speaker needs no introduction. Don't you love it when somebody says that and they're going to do it anyway? But really, for most of you in the room, needs no introduction, including myself, which I didn't introduce. I'm Angie Shearer, Secretary Treasurer of the BC Federation of Labour. But our next speaker, he travels this province from one end to the other, meeting trade unionists and working people, working tirelessly, speaking out on behalf of working people in this province. Please welcome President of the BC Federation of Labour, Jim Sinclair.
Hey, it's wonderful to be here today. Let me just get to the details quickly. You might notice there's some RCMP people in the room today. Well, I've had a talk with them and I've assured them there's no liberals in this room today, folks. Brothers and sisters, I just have one question. I read the newspaper, the Can West Global, you know those folks today, and they're talking about Tories winning elections. Let me tell you, are we right or not, in British Columbia, it's the NDP that's going to win big this time. No one else in British Columbia, no matter what they say, folks. And they're going to win big in British Columbia because they stand up for working people. That's why we're here today, because the backbone of this country, the people who sweat and toil and work and die on the job in this country, are working people, and we need to be heard in Ottawa and heard loud and clear. You know, I love elections because all the parties start running around talking about working families and everything else. But you and I know, because that's who we are, what's important to working people. Let's talk about the number one issues in this election. You heard the other speakers talk about it, healthcare. There can be no doubt in this country that the healthcare system that we fought and struggled for, a public healthcare system that means that my child and your children and your loved ones go to the hospital and use the healthcare system without a Visa card, is the best system in the entire world. And that's what it is. And there can be no doubt that there is only one party in this country that today can stand up and say that they believe in it. Do you believe for one second that we are going to build on a public health care system so that our children and your children and their children will have the right to health care if Stephen Harper is the Prime Minister of this country? Again, please? Thank you very much, because that's the message we have to get out there. And the Liberals, every time you turn around, they're talking about helping all of us, and the next thing you know, there's another private clinic. And when Jack Layton went and said, we'll keep you in power if you sign up to stop those private clinics, they said, no thanks, Jack, we're not doing that. So when you get down to it, we're standing here today with the dream of Tommy Douglas in our room and our obligation to the next generation, and we're going to fight for health care because the New Democrats are the only ones that will do that in this province and in this country. Working families know, because we all look at our kids and say, you got to get an education. You have to stay in school, even do your homework once in a while. But you know, all of us who are parents understand that, you know, once they get through high school, and that's tough enough, when they go to the college or the university, many children of working people have the door closed in their faces. And it's closed because there's not enough spaces in the courses that they need. And it's closed because people in Ottawa, including the Liberals over the last 10 years, have watched tuition fees rise by 50, 100, 200% right across this country, and that's a crime against young people. And that crime against young people has to be changed by electing new Democrats who know we have to not only freeze tuition, we have to lower it down, open the doors, and give young people in Canada a chance for a future. You know, I want to talk for a second about poverty. All the parties 10 years ago in this country got together and said, let's end child poverty. Well, I believe that firmly, that children should not live in poverty. And of course, the first thing you know about that is children, you know, they don't put their hand up and say, I want to go live in poverty. They have poor parents. And in the last 10 years, with the Liberals in power, has child poverty gone down? Are there more working people with better paychecks in this country? No. The opposite is true, sisters and brothers. There are more children who are poor because there are no more working people who are poor in Canada. And that is a crime against people in this country. And there is only one party that stands up for working people and ending child poverty. And that's the New Democratic Party. It is the only one, folks, and we have to get that message out. Besides democracy, which is so important and we're talking about today, there's one other thing working people need to have, and that's the right to respect and the right to be represented by a union. I don't know about you, but I spent a lot of time walking TELUS picket lines in the last while, and I watched TELUS workers from here to Edmonton, all across all across the country really standing up to tell us. And one of the things we sat and watched every day that we were there, was scabs walking across picket lines and going to work. Yes. And you know, it didn't have to be that way. Because in this province and in Quebec, we have laws that say that there's a balance between employee-employer relationships and employers can't haul scabs in to bust unions. But Canada doesn't have that law. And you know, we almost had that law. But you know, the parties that Darren Entwistle likes made it so we couldn't do that. And Jack's not here, I just want to know Darren Entwistle won't be voting for you, Jack. And the executives won't be voting for you. But you know, there was a vote in the House of Commons, and that vote was to introduce anti-scabbing legislation, which would have meant that those no-tellus workers, who by the way were fighting for jobs to stay in British Columbia and be paid decent wages rather than going to the Philippines or India, when they were walking those picket lines, there wouldn't have been scabs if they'd done their jobs in the House of Commons. But let me ask you, where was Paul Martin for that vote? He voted with his feet and took off. But I'll tell you, there's some good news here. Not everybody in the Liberal Party voted with their feet. Some of them stayed. Raymond Chan stayed. Ujjal Dosanjh stayed. David Emerson stayed. Stephen Owen stayed. And did they vote for TELUS workers and for working people, or did they vote for Darren Entwistle? They voted for Darren Entwistle and against the legislation. Oh, by the way, Sven, Hetty Fry, she went with Paul. She didn't vote. And you know, the Tories. Turns out that Stephen Harper had a really important engagement that day, and he couldn't stand up for working people either. But I'll tell you what, almost a dozen of his folks from this province voted to say, Darren Entwistle, bring the scabs in. Try and bust that union, ship the jobs out of this country. You know, how do you believe this? When you see Stephen Harper standing there with a sign that says, stand up for Canada, no, 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 no. He's saying, stand up for Darren Entwistle and corporations in Canada, not for us. We need a government and we need a party that stands up for working people in Canada, and that's the New Democratic Party. And let me be very clear about that one. When that vote happened in the House of Commons, when that vote went down and people had to stand up and vote, every New Democrat stood up and voted to stop scabs being used in Canada, right across the country. I gotta finish this up because there's a few speakers to go ahead of me, eh? Yep. We barred the doors here, we'll be here for a while. You know, this election is about our country. It's one of the best countries in the world, as the previous speakers have said. It is a wonderful country. But it's wonderful because we got off our asses and we fought for what we wanted. It's not wonderful because of Liberals or Conservatives or because of corporations. It's wonderful because of the dedication and the spirit and the struggle of working people from coast to coast. And that's why it's a wonderful place. And so, I know when they turn, usually you know in Ontario they turn the TV off and sneak into bed about 10 o'clock on election night. I know they're going to be burning even though it's privatized power back there, a little problem with that. But back there, they'll have the lights on late in Ontario because in British Columbia, we are going to determine the outcome of this election. And we're going to mobilize like never before in the next 10 days, because I know you will do that. I know you're here today, but you've got to do that, folks. Because if you believe in a Canada full of hope, if you believe in a Canada full of hope for working people, full of hope for young people, if you believe in a Canada where medical need and not greed is what gets you through the door of the hospital, if you believe with open doors in schools and open doors for opportunities for young people in Canada and safe, a really safe country, then we have to get out there and fight for what we believe in and continue that fight. So let's get out there and do our job on January 23rd, and let's show the rest of Canada and give them a gift about, you know, 15 NDP MPs for the rest of the country. Thank you very much. Let's do this, folks.
Thank you, Jim, for your message from the labor movement about this election and how important it is for working people. Friends, there's really nothing more stressful than losing your job through layoff or the collapse of your own company. You work hard, you put everything you can into your job, but because of management's incompetence, because of competitors have cut their workers' wages, your company may or has gone under. And until this year, you didn't just lose your job, you lost your pension and every contribution you made to that pension. Not anymore. Our next speaker is Janet Sinclair. She's an Air Canada worker, chair of the Canadian Auto Workers District 1, whose members feared an Air Canada bankruptcy would wipe out all they had achieved over the years. And along with Janet is Ed Wainwright from the Machinist Union. But I'll let her tell you about how NDP members in Ottawa stepped in to help. Janet and Ed.
Thanks, Angie. It's hard to believe that just 2 years ago, Maclean's magazine's headline was Air Canada in Death Throes. 2 years later, it's got $2 billion in the bank account and everything seems to be going well. 2 years ago, though, they controlled most of the domestic market, 90% of the foreign market, but they were still in the bankruptcy process. 30,000 Air Canada employees gave back billions of dollars in concessions. But that wasn't enough for the foreign investors who were planning on taking over Air Canada. They wanted to get at our pensions, and they wanted to get at our collective agreement. Yeah, boo is right. But it was a horrible, horrible time for the people working at Air Canada. You cannot understand the stress and the difficulty of going to work every day and asking yourself, am I going to have a job tomorrow? Am I going to get paid this week? What about my pension? I've worked 30 years. Am I going to have a pension? What about the people who've already retired? Are their benefits going to be the same? We went through this for over a year, every day, that stressful thing of not knowing whether we'd have a job, a pension, or anything. It was a horrible, horrible time for everybody who worked at Air Canada. Some of the people who didn't work at Air Canada, those investors from overseas, they would have liked to see the company go bankrupt so they could strip it to the bones and they could get at our pension plan. But they failed. And they failed because Jack Layton and the NDP held Paul Martin's feet to the fire. Ed and I are both here today because we do not ever want to see other workers have to go through that incredibly difficult, stressful time. On May 6, 2005, Parliament passed an NDP bill that reforms Canada's bankruptcy laws. And it gives workers first call on the assets if a company goes bankrupt. Now workers have some protection for back wages, vacation pay, and their pensions before the banks get to take their pound of flesh. And judges cannot touch our collective agreement. For all of us in unions, that is an incredibly important aspect of this. The NDP also followed this up by forcing the Martin Liberals to amend their budget to ensure $100 million was allocated to protect workers' pensions. To me, and to you, that is really getting results for working people. It means a great deal to the workers that the NDP put workers first, not the corporations. They put first workers. And that's why I believe we need more new Democrats, way more new Democrats in Ottawa, and I'm supporting Jack Layton and the NDP.
As an Air Canada employee, I also understand the value of Bill C-55, and this is one of the reasons why I support Jack Layton and the NDP, and also why my union, the Machinist Union, support Jack Layton and the NDP. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet and Ed. As someone who worked in the airline industry myself, the Machinist Union, I know how traumatic it's been for the workers, for the people who I know very well in that industry, who keep the planes flying, keep them in the air, and get you on those aircraft as their bosses and others fly the company into the ground. What's even more outrageous is the companies that turn their backs on their workers, the people who make the company profitable and make it what it is, when they want to line their pockets of the shareholders and the CEOs. They took it right out of the workers' pockets. If there is one issue that separates the NDP from the old line parties, it's right there to form a union. And working people know that right is empty without the right to strike. It doesn't matter how much the economy grows, it doesn't matter how much corporate profits rise, when working people stand up and demand a fair share of those profits, employers fight them tooth and nail. And their main weapon is strike breaking, the use of scabs to take the jobs of workers who stand up for their rights. Our next speaker knows from personal experience what it's like to face a company, what it's like to face goons that the company has hired and organized strike breakers, and she knows why it's an issue in this campaign. I want you to please welcome Hope Cumming of the Telecommunication Workers.
Thank you, Angie. Before I start talking about anti-scab legislation, I'd personally like to thank, on behalf of telecommunication workers in this country, specifically the NDP MPs in British Columbia and the other NDPs across the country, who were the people that stood beside us on those picket lines for the 5 months that we were out. Thank you very much. I do know from personal experience what it's like when your employer declares war on you. This summer, after many years, and that's not a typo, many years of collective bargaining, TELUS refused the proposal of a special mediator and locked out thousands of workers here in BC and in Alberta. Our demands weren't radical. We wanted protection from contracting out from a company that is shipping jobs, good Canadian jobs, to the Philippines and India. We wanted a fair collective agreement that gave equal treatment to our members, and we wanted a fair wage increase. It's not like TELUS couldn't afford it. Profits went up more than 20% during the dispute alone. But TELUS declared war on its employees. They hired goons to intimidate us. They brought them to every work site. They videotaped us 24 hours a day to try and intimidate us. And they hired scabs to do our work. Yay. Under BC labor law, that's illegal. Under Quebec law, it's illegal. But because we're under the federal law, there's only one party in Parliament that understands the need for anti-scab legislation, and that's the NDP. Strike breaking doesn't just destroy unions. It breeds anger and frustration on the picket line, and it increases the length of disputes. If TELUS wasn't allowed to bring in folks here to roll out those white vans to install people's phones, that dispute would have been over way quicker than it was. Strike breaking also undermines the fundamental right to organize and bargain collectively. But when the NDP brought legislation into Parliament to stop scabbing, Paul Martin and Stephen Harper ducked out. With just 12 more votes, workers in federal jurisdiction would have had their rights protected. But 72 Liberals teamed up with the Conservatives to protect the scabs. If there was ever an argument to send more new Democrats to Ottawa, this is it. That's why I'm voting NDP on January 23rd, and I hope everyone in this room, their families, and their friends do the same. We need positive change in Ottawa, and that means...
Thank you, Hope, for your message. Before I introduce the next speaker, I'd like to take this opportunity to give recognition to some of the national union presidents and people from national unions from across the country who have joined us here today on stage to show their support and their union's support for Jack Layton and the NDP. With us today is Ken Newman, National Director of the Steelworkers. Paul Moyes, National President of CUPE. Jerry New, National President of COPE. Tom Dufresne, National President of Longshore. Bruce Bell, National President of TWU. And Maureen Shaw, National President of NUCOUT, which is the University of Teachers. Friends, you've heard from four people tell you today about the real issues in this campaign. Thank you to help me welcome Ken Giorgetti of the CLC.
Gee, thanks a lot, Angie. Thank you, everybody. You know, sitting here in beautiful downtown Vancouver in British Columbia, I have to tell you, sometimes I have to spend time in Ottawa watching what's going on there. As cold as it is, when that House of Parliament works, it's supposed to work for you. And I want to tell you today what I saw and what I see. I want to tell you that from a perspective as a new Democrat, a person that has all my life, in every election that I've had the privilege as an elector to put my axe, I've voted NDP. Every single time. And I want to tell you why. And I'll tell you why by telling you what I saw. I want to tell you who stood up for us against those big banks and that huge corporate lobby that runs around on Wellington Avenue there in downtown Ottawa. A person that forced Paul Martin to remove tax breaks for big businesses and profitable banks and instead put that money into health care and training and education and building the social fabric of this country. He fought and fights to protect our jobs and our social fabric. He stood up, as Jim said, for anti-scab legislation while those other two leaders stood by and watched that vote without them there. He made sure that your economic interests are in front of the Parliament of this House of Commons every single day. I stood there and watched. I watched Jack build up bankruptcy protection so that banks are second in line to the interest of working Canadians, and he made sure that no judge can strip away our pension plans like they did to United Airlines workers in the United States. You know, Jack Layton views us with respect, us working Canadians, the backbone of this country, the majority of workers who we're talking to in every doorstep and every workplace in Canada, asking them to think about the issues that are important to them, to identify themselves as working Canadians, not as some other term that these parties would have you use. We're working Canadians. We pay our taxes. We, in fact, own this country. And Jack Layton respects that. You know, a long time ago, the first time I got to vote, I supported Dave Barrett because he promised me public auto insurance. And you know what? He delivered on that promise. I supported Mike Harcourt because he promised me anti-scab legislation in British Columbia. And you know what? We got it. And I support Jack Layton and the New Democrats because they promised me that they would stand up for working Canadians. And you know what? They delivered. My friends, let me introduce to you what I hope to be the next Prime Minister of Canada, Jack Layton.
First of all, Ken, I want to thank you for that very kind introduction. We've had a great partnership, and I want to thank you for the leadership that you have shown for so many years for the working people of this country and the work done by the CLC. And also, Janet, Jim, Hope, Sylvia, your words were very moving. They speak to why it is that working families need New Democrats in Parliament, and that's what we're here to do. Now, I want to begin by acknowledging just some of the friends of our party who are here with us today, and in fact, so many friends have arrived. The list is growing literally as we speak, and that's exactly the way we want it right across the whole country at this point in the campaign. But if I may, I'd like to thank Paul Moist for being with us today, the president of the Canadian Union of Public Employees, the largest union in Canada, and they are backing the NDP in this election. I want to thank Ken Newman for being with us today, Canadian director of the United Steelworkers, the largest industrial union in North America, and they are backing the NDP in this election. I'd like to thank Tom Dufresne for being with us today, the national president of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union of Canada, and they are backing the NDP in this election as well. Jerry New of COPE is here, backing the NDP as well. Thank you. Bruce Bell, national president of the Telecommunications Workers Union, and they are backing the NDP in this election. Just as all of us in this room backed them in their gutsy and principled and critically important battle with TELUS Corporation. I want to thank all the elected leaders, the members of the BC Federation of Labour and other leaders from the BC Labour movement who are here with us today. Because everyone in this room has this in common. We all know what side we're on. We are on the side of working people and ordinary working families in British Columbia and all across this country from coast to coast to coast. And we know what we're out to do in this election. What we're out to do is to elect MPs who know what side they're on when they stand in the House of Commons. NDP MPs here in British Columbia and all across this country who are on the side of working people and ordinary working families. And our candidates are here, and I'm so thrilled to see them all here. We've got to get out and support them because it's time for a different kind of parliament in Ottawa. It's time for a parliament that puts working families first. Now, that also means that it's time for a change in the kind of leadership that we're getting out of that parliament. Let's talk about the kind of leadership provided by Paul Martin and his BC Liberals. Let's talk about the kind of leadership that Stephen Harper and his Conservatives would provide if they could, and the kind of leadership offered by the NDP, because these are the choices before Canadians. Let's start with the kind of leadership we've been getting from those Liberal cabinet ministers from BC. They're quite a piece of work, those BC Liberals. They were here yesterday. All those Liberal MPs and candidates, those Liberal cabinet ministers, and they were unveiling what they called the BC agenda. Now, you'll note it was not a platform. These are not commitments that they could be accountable for. It was an agenda. Things that they're promising to lobby their own Liberal government for. How are they proposing to do that? Well, we know they can't do it themselves. They can't persuade their own Prime Minister to back them by putting this agenda into their platform as commitments to the people of British Columbia. So, what are they going to do? Maybe they're planning to hire some of those well-connected Liberal lobbyists to lobby themselves. Now, there's an idea. Apparently, they want to lobby for a disaster relief center. Possibly a good idea, and certainly makes sense in their case. Their campaign needs emergency help. But, you know, friends, it is hard to figure out what Liberals stand for. During an election, they'll promise anything to anyone, so it is a little bit difficult to keep up. Let's take David Emerson. Yeah, somebody take him, somebody. You know, he opposes his government's refusal to apologize formally to Chinese people for the head tax. You can react. I'll tell you, I react. He's opposed to his government's giveaway of the Ridley Terminal. His government's giveaway of the Ridley Terminal. He's opposed to his government's reneging on the promise to support the World Junior Hockey Tournament organizers. And by the way, how about that hockey team? All these bad things that the Liberal government is doing, he now opposes, hoping that we will forget that he was right there at the cabinet table when those decisions were made. So, let's give David Emerson a message. Is it leadership to say your government is wrong and that you were too weak and ineffective to do anything to change it? What do you think?
No.
I don't think so. Now, then there's Ujo Dosanjh. You know, I think we can all, the colorful metaphors are beginning to flow. But I think we'd all agree on one thing, he just isn't the man he used to be. There was a time when he stood here with us, with ordinary working people. But then he showed what kind of leader he is, by repudiating the tens of thousands of ordinary people who had worked for and supported him, and he crossed to the other side. And so there he is now, shilling for the Liberals in TV ads. On TV, he says, you're either for public health care or against it. Now, he had a chance to show where he stood on that choice. This fall, we asked him, and the Prime Minister, we asked him to work with us to protect public health care from the privateers and the profiteers and the privatizers, and he made a decision about what side he's really on. He stood with them. And when he was asked why the Liberal health platform in this election doesn't deal with the rise of the privatizers and the profiteers in the healthcare system, which you can see all too well here in British Columbia, he had a Kim Campbell moment. He said, "You don't talk about such important things in an election." Well, we will talk about these important things in this election. So, let's send Ujjal Dosanjh, that honorable member, a message. Is it leadership to pretend to support public health care and then do absolutely nothing about it?
No!
I don't think so either. The next generation is coming on.
Yeah!
And then there's Paul Martin, the man who says that this election is about two visions of Canada, two sets of values, and then on the very next day releases the same healthcare platform as Stephen Harper. Now, is that leadership?
No.
Did Paul Martin show leadership by blocking anti-scab legislation while TELUS workers were fighting for their jobs?
No.
Did Paul Martin show leadership when he said that working people and pensioners stay last in line in a bankruptcy and the banks stay first?
No.
What about showing leadership when he told Bush to stop destroying the forest industry or he would talk more?
No.
Not really. What about when Terrasen was sold off without so much as a public hearing? Now, is everybody impressed with his leadership on ethics issues? How about his record of making families wait 12 years for a national child care program? Everybody impressed with that? Is it leadership when the Liberals keep trying to give banks and oil companies huge tax breaks at the expense of working families? Is Paul Martin a leader worthy of support by working people? Friends, enough is enough. It is time for a different kind of government and a different kind of parliament, one that does put working families first. Now, let's look at the leadership Stephen Harper's Conservatives want to provide. Look hard, and you'll see that they are flat wrong on every issue that matters to ordinary working people. Look at their platform, and you will see the bottom line. Fundamentally, packaged up in different ways and wrapped in ribbons of various colors, what the Stephen Harper Conservatives are promising is a series of tax cuts. Now, where have we heard that before? Everyone would like a break on their taxes. There's no doubt about that. But when you look over the billions and billions of dollars that Stephen Harper wants to spend on tax cuts, I think it becomes clear that this plan of his it's fundamentally misguided. It's fundamentally wrong. And now we learn that he actually plans to pay for some of these tax cuts by increasing the taxes on the lowest income people, a tax cut that already came through, that we supported. Now, when it comes to priorities, shouldn't we do something about the lack of long-term care for seniors first? Shouldn't we do a better job at home care first for our seniors and those who need it? We should look after our seniors first. They built this country, and they deserve a senior years in dignity and respect. Now, speaking of those priorities, shouldn't we look after our kids first? Shouldn't we do a better job for child care in a public nonprofit system right across this country? And shouldn't we make sure that our young people can go to school to get that post-secondary education, that training, the working training that they need, the skills, without having to take out a mortgage before they've even worked a day in their lives? Now, if you look even more closely at this program of Stephen Harper, there is worse. Stephen Harper's Conservatives want to team up with Gordon Campbell and Ralph Klein and Jean Charest and speed up the spread of private for-profit health care in this country. It must be stopped. And then there's a very practical matter of the value for taxpayers' money when it comes to BC Conservatives. Can anybody think of anything that BC Conservatives have actually done in Ottawa in the 12 long years that they've had to get so comfortable there? They changed their names a few times. But I think, and perhaps you'll agree, that it's time to send those BC Conservatives packing and replace them with the Democrats. Because you know whose side Stephen Harper's Conservatives are on. Do any of you think that Stephen Harper will show leadership in helping working people? Will he be at your side as you fight for respect in the workplace, for decent wages, for decent working conditions and safety? He won't be there. Well, I'll tell you something. New Democrats will be there every day on the job. New Democrats have been showing real leadership in Parliament. And I want to salute our caucus members for the work that they've done. Because they got results. They got results on the issues that matter to ordinary working people. And we showed what we could do in that last parliament. We canceled corporate tax cuts to banks and oil companies, and got investments in public transit, building affordable housing, lowering tuition fees. That's the kind of start that we needed. But you know, there is a lot more to do, an awful lot more to do. And it can only be done with a lot more New Democrats in the House. So let's talk about our kind of leadership. You've been hearing a lot about ethics in this campaign. Well, there are some ethical issues that we're going to be bringing to the next parliament. We think there's an ethical issue that our seniors aren't being looked after the way they should be. That's an ethical issue. It's time to do something about that. We think it's an ethical issue that there are 1.2 million children in this country living in poverty. They don't have access to good child care. They're facing rising barriers to go to school, and it's time to do something about that. Now, we think there's an ethical issue that we're sliding towards a health care system where you only get the care you can pay for. It's time to do something about that, and do it right now. We think it's an ethical issue that Paul Martin has a worse record than George Bush on protecting the environment. It's time to get something done about that. And yes, we think it is an ethical issue, an issue of justice and equality, when the problems facing working families are ignored while liberals get way too comfortable in their culture of entitlement with their friends. So it's time to clean up ethics in Parliament. Now, we're going to get results on these things. We've shown that we get results for Canadians. We're going to stand up for seniors with better long-term care and better home care and some help with prescription drugs, something that people need these days. We will stand up for our kids with better child care by taking on child poverty and by giving students some help. And we will defend public health care, non-profit health care, and keep the profiteers out. And we will clean up Ottawa, because after 12 years under those Liberals, a cleanup is what is desperately needed. We will stand up for working people. We'll fight for laws that put working people at the head of the line, in front of the banks. We'll work for pay equity and for fair wages. And we will try once again to bring in laws that get the so-called replacement workers out of the picture in national legislation. So, my friends, that's what we're going to do. I want to thank you for being with us today, standing side by side. I want to thank you for the work that you've done throughout the past 18 months in this minority parliament. We've made some progress, but we have a lot more to do. Now, you've got work ahead. I want to thank you for talking to your co-workers, for talking to your friends, for doing all the things that need to be done in a campaign in these last 2 weeks. You showed what you can do in the last provincial election. You know, Gordon Campbell thought his Liberals had this province in the bag. Well, working people showed him otherwise. Just ask all those Liberals who were defeated by members of Carol James's NDP team. Well, now we're dealing with another Liberal government that would like to get British Columbia in that bag. But not this time, Paul. And that's because there's a better choice. It's time for a different kind of parliament, a different kind of politics, one that really does put working families first. And British Columbians know how to get that job done. To put people first, you elect more New Democrats. That's the way we're going to get results for working people. So, send a great big British Columbia team of New Democrat MPs to the House of Commons, people that will really get things done. Let's get on with the job. Thank you all very much. Merci.